following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Unity FM. My name is Beresford Dawkins. I am the Community Development Manager for Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust. Really glad that you could be with us this afternoon. Bit dark and dingy outside, I have to tell you. But however, as always, you know we're going to have sunshine in the studio. Want to say a big shout out to Mr. Ibra Khan for his fantastic program just before now. And all those children, I want some of those children ringing into my program, and they're exciting, fantastic young people of the city of Birmingham, which we should be engaging more of you on this program. So I want some of you to call my program too and talk about your health and well-being. And I know your parents are listening, and parents, I know it's down to you. So you give permission, so give us a call, talk to us. And as you know, this is your program, 0121-772-8892. If you want to text 07947-773-949, we'll get you a text right into the program. And as you know, the program's called What Shape Are You In? It's us asking you, the community, what shape are you in? But more importantly, we're asking us as a trust. We look after 60,000 patients a year. And we always ask ourselves, constantly evaluating and checking out, what shape are we in? Have we got the skills? Have we got the people to manage this super diverse city of ours? And guess what? I'm super excited this week because the answer to some of those questions is our super guest. And you can tell my excitement. I can't even speak properly this week. Our Executive Director of Strategy for People and Partnership, Patrick Nyirumbu, is in the studio, folks, and I'm really glad to say he's here. And we're going to be speaking to him in a short while about all things health and well-being. You get to know the man behind the role and also some of the fantastic changes that he's already made in a very short space of time. I was just talking to him a while ago in the green room, and he tells me that he's only been with us technically 2 years. And it feels as if he's been with us much longer than that. Probably feels like about 4 years from my perspective. But he's done some amazing and wonderful things. We want you to join in. All things health and well-being. 0121-772-8892 gets you straight to the studio. If you want to text 07947-773-949. So, Patrick, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And like I said, I am excited, but, you know, I'm easily excited. But to have one of our executive directors who looks after some 60,000 patients and also some 4,000 staff in terms of workforce, it's a delight to have you with us today. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Absolutely delighted to be here.
Brilliant. And Patrick, before we get into your role and the work and managing a workforce, just tell us a little bit about, you know, who is Patrick, the man behind the role? Just tell us a little bit about who you are.
Wow. yeah, so so going back and in terms of how did I end up in the NHS, which it's probably a good place to start. So I joined the NHS as a mental health nurse. I trained in London, a profession that I absolutely respect. My mother was a nurse, and she's one of the people that inspired me to go into the profession. So I joined the NHS as a teenager.
Wow.
I was probably about 18 and a half when I went into the training. Really excited to do that. So I've been in in the NHL. I've never worked anywhere else. And from day one, I think the values of the NHS really drawed me in. And I'd seen my mother caring for people and living those values of being compassionate, which really shined through and through in terms of our nursing workforce. And that really inspired me. So that's really been the start of my journey coming into the NHS. And since then, I've met some amazing people who've supported me in really thinking about my development. I think when I started, I didn't really think I'll be sitting here with you, Beresford, and you introducing me as an executive director. Because at the time, I don't think I ever saw anyone that looked like me in that role. So I didn't have any of those aspirations. But certainly I've met some amazing people who've led me to reflect on my purpose. Who am I here to serve? So it's led me to work in other settings within the NHS, in the community, and then developing the aspirations to be a senior leader within our health service. So without giving you a lowdown on every role that I've done within the health service, the reason why I've stayed is because I think it's the most amazing health service that we have. And despite some of the challenges that we hear about, absolutely enjoy working there. So, yeah.
Thank you for that, Patrick. And I find it really interesting that, again, like you, our elders and our parents, and, you know, often people refer to the Windrush generation, but even before then, how they inspire. And I know we're going to talk about role models and a network that you are leading on, but it's really important that we try and unpack a little bit when there aren't people that look like us. Where do we find that resilience to, one, pursue a career, and secondly, deliver on that? Because, yeah, let me just hold it there just to say, yeah, how do we, one, identify with resilience and become resilient as individuals, and then deliver on those very strategic roles clearly that you've held over the years?
Yeah, I think when you haven't got the support around you, it can be really tough. It can feel quite lonely. And that's probably been what I would have experienced quite early on in my career. However, I think personal resilience, we underestimate the value of that personal resilience and how do you develop that. And for me, it comes from a number of different places. First of all, I consider my family as one of those stability zones, if I can call them.
Yeah.
So I have a very supportive wife. I've got two young children, and it means that they keep me grounded. They enable me to really reflect on my purpose, which is what I was describing. I'm more than just being a director. You know, I'm a father, I'm a brother, you know, I'm a friend. And it's how you play that role in your community, within your home. And that enables you to really be your best when you come to work, because you bring the best version of yourself into work. And it's not as easy sometimes, because being authentic in what you do, it might be important. However, you need the right environment to be able to thrive. And that's really what I try and create within our own organization, and role model that, being myself and being authentic.
Fantastic. And I love, I think it's one of your mantras that I always heard. And I always smile when I think about it. And I think you've kind of alluded to there, bringing your whole self to work. I think I first heard of that coming from you in one of your network meetings. And I always think to myself, I'm not sure if the organization ready for me to bring my whole self to work. Because, as you say, if you are grounded in a certain way, that comes with a hell of a lot of experience, normally with a hell of a lot of talent and giftings, and sometimes that doesn't fit well with organizations. So how would you encourage those who want to aspire to be leaders like yourself, myself, and are thinking, wow, the NHS at the moment, it's not looking that great. But within those challenges within the NHS, there are also opportunities. And we're looking for talented, innovative people who can turn the ship around because it needs turning around. So how would you, from your perspective, encourage and model and role model to others that actually the NHS is probably right now an exciting place to be working?
Yeah, I think it is a fair challenge. I think looking back, I could have sat back and thought, I can't do anything. But for me, one thing that's always motivated me is, what can I do to make a difference? And certainly, I am in a position where I can make a difference. I would want to do more. But certainly, it's reflecting on what is it that I can do, regardless of whatever level that you're operating. It's thinking, so what is it that I can do right now to make a difference? Sometimes we whether it's work or life, and we kind of getting into that well-being territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes we focus on things that at times outside of your sphere of influence. Things that you might not be able to control, but that those are the things that tend to occupy your kind of worry list, if I can put it that way. But sometimes really focusing on what are the things that I can really do, what can I control, what can I influence, and it helps to really reflect and be satisfied with what you're doing, because you know, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. And so I think sometimes it's really important to stay boundary in that way. So I've been really motivated in I need to make a difference. I need to be able to push as hard as I can so I can get into that position where I can make a difference to our local communities. So if there is someone who is really thinking about coming into the health service, or they're probably within the health service already and feeling as if, well, this is not the right time to be focusing on some of the opportunities and challenges that we have, I think this is the right time. It is the right time because there's no one single person who can resolve the issues that we have. We all have a part to play. I have a part to play. You have a part to play as well. And it's really thinking about what part am I playing? Because if I'm sitting here and I'm thinking it's someone else need to resolve it, then whose responsibility is it? So one of the things that I've been really focused on, for me, as I said at the beginning, I didn't see any role models, has been to be one. Be visible, be out there. And that's one of the reasons why when you invited me, Beresford, I didn't even hesitate. I was like, yes, I am coming.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's really important that individuals in positions like mine are out there and demonstrate to young people that it is possible to be able to develop a career and have influence within our local communities, regardless of some of the challenges that we face. So I think that's really has been my view right from the beginning.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you for joining us on Unity FM. We're talking to my guest, Patrick Nyirumbu, Executive Director of Strategic People and Partnership for Birmingham Solihull NHS Mental Health Trust. And we want you to join in the conversation. As you've heard from Patrick there, yeah, there are challenges within the NHS, not only in mental health services, but right across the board in the NHS, we're seeing challenges. And we're not hiding and we're not ducking from that. But as Patrick said, it's quite an exciting time to get involved. It's a time for collaboration. It's time for partnership. It's a time for some talented and gifted people. And my thing is always the talent and the gifting is often on the margins. And if you feel that you're so-called in the margins, maybe this is a time for you to shine. 0121-772-8892. Give us a text on 07947-773-949. So, Patrick, I know you like you said, you've joined us just before COVID, and we want to go into the role now. And as I remember it, we talk about challenges, but when you're trying to run a workforce of some 4,000 people and some 60,000 patients in the middle of COVID as an executive director, where do you even begin and start to respond to some of those major challenges that we had in 2020? And again, you and your leadership team or part of the leadership team saw us through that to here we are now in 2023. And I'm amazed at some of the new leadership and the new positive experiences some of our patients are now having throughout that period. How do you even begin to just articulate some of those challenges, given your role as an executive director?
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right that we've gone through some really challenging times throughout the pandemic. And, you know, I would really want to say, you know, we have people in our communities who've been significantly impacted by COVID. And that is something that we have to continue to recognize. People continue to be impacted by it. And also, within our own organization, we lost some members of staff. Mm. And that has been really difficult for us. However, I believe that you can't deliver this on your own. We did it through our staff. Through the service users and really understanding some of the challenges that we were going through, where we've had to change the way we deliver care, offering some support online. So we've had to really change the way we deliver services traditionally. And also carers, volunteers, significant number of our workforce really rolling their sleeves and responding.
And I'm going to interrupt you. I just want to also acknowledge our condolences to all those staff members and families that have lost loved ones during that time of COVID as an organisation. We appreciate you. We're going to go to a caller on line one. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello there.
Hi. Who's calling today and how can we help?
Yeah, so my name's Atik, and I just wanted to say, really, I mean, it's a fantastic topic that you brought up. So I'm a pharmacist, and, you know, I've been around for quite a number of years in my field. And I've seen this from, as a healthcare professional, mental health provision, and I've seen it as a patient or a relative of a patient. And, you know, it's something that patient families, they struggle to grapple what this is, and we really got to do better in terms of our outreach and getting engagement from within the community, and getting them the help that they need. Because I think there's a lot of people that are suffering, and in my view, needlessly, clearly. But you know, I think there's an opportunity for Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust to really engage people at an early stage and at crisis points as well. And I think you know you've got to get that balance right as well. I think that early stage, especially in Asian and Muslim households, is probably not being handled as well as it ought to.
And that's a great point, Atik, and thank you so much for calling the station, taking the time.
And like I said,
we've got our executive director here. And your points about black and brown families who are not engaging as we would want them to, and hence why we've got programs like this, really. And your point about outreach and integrated care systems, which are now quite, I say they're new, they're probably new to the community, but certainly for us who've been working internally, it feels like it's a couple of years in. And I'm sure Patrick would have some views on that, but your point about outreach is really important. And I want to come back to you in a minute at it, because I would want to hear from you as well of some things that we could be doing to help, certainly pharmacy, and from a community engagement point of view, how do we collaboratively work together to ensure that we are getting the messages out there to our Asian families? Patrick, around the integrated care and outreach,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, certainly. I think really good points that have been raised there. So I think, certainly our outreach and early intervention, if I can call it that, I think it's really important that we engage people quite early as an organization. That is something that we really want to see, because to see people engaging more in secondary care rather than primary care or early intervention, at times it's really late to be engaging with services in secondary care. So there's a big part to play, not just in terms of our organization, but in terms of all the partners within our system, and that is the value of the integrated care systems, where we're working with the local authority who will lead on public health, and mental health is a significant part of public health, and also really thinking about the voluntary sector and the work that they do. So they are part of the integrated care system and the collaboratives that we are developing right now, because we understand that they're well equipped in terms of really engaging with local communities. Because by the time people come into the organisation and they're accessing secondary care, it might be really late at that point. And that's why we see an increase in demand in the number of beds and the support that we have from a secondary care perspective. So I absolutely agree with that in terms of really engaging early intervention, which really enables people to have more time with their families rather than ending up in an inpatient unit.
Brilliant. And Atik, you've heard the points there, and I just wondered, from a pharmacy perspective, working alongside GPs and again, you know, with mental health commissioners and the integrated care system, how do you think that we can collaboratively
I come at it with a slightly different view. I work in hospital and I'm quite senior within my department, but it's
hello.
Sorry, can you hear me? Yes, sorry, Atik.
You just kind of faded out there. Can you just repeat what you just said there?
I would say that, you know, the thing here is to kind of get that the signposting needs to happen in a number of ways, really. And I think you need to do better in terms of your social media outreach, making sure that you are linking in with the big companies and making sure the algorithms are kind of pushing people to information that can help them when they are going through a crisis point. And I think there's a big role that community pharmacy can play, or now you've got pharmacists who work in GP surgeries. So, there's a whole range of people that can, in my field and wider as well, that can be helping. So it's not just reliant on doctors and and people in secondary care. So, you know, there's more to be done here from in the ICB, and I understand what the ICB is and how it's meant to work, but I think you need to make sure that this particular ICB that we are in Birmingham, it doesn't get overshadowed or overrun by the University Hospital of Birmingham, that actually the other people that are, the other hospitals or other sectors within this ICB are given an equal status, really, and so that they are given the funding to do the work that they need to do.
Okay, Atik, that is such a great point, and we're going to have to go to a break. You're quite welcome to hang on till after the break, but we're going to have to.
I'm going to drop off the call in a minute. Sorry.
But I appreciate it. But thank you for making such an excellent point. I want to thank Atik there for such a great point, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back speaking with Patrick.